Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Herald and Review for Thursday, October 18, 2018. We'll start with an article on the front page headlined Social Services, United Way Starts Campaign, Goal Set at $1.6 Million to Help Local Agencies, by Jalen Cook. Decatur. The United Way of Decatur and Mid-Illinois kicked off its 2018 campaign Wednesday afternoon with hopes of once again raising $1.6 million for area community programs. But according to Debbie Bogle, the organization's executive director, it's not really the monetary goal that matters when it comes to the United Way's annual efforts. The focus, she said, should actually be on the campaign's end goal of helping people provide for themselves and their families. We do that by investing in the most effective programs in our community, Bogle said. By participating in the United Way campaign, you can help move more people from crisis to stable, from stable to thriving, and from thriving to self-sufficient. Wednesday's kickoff event was held at the Consociate, 2828 North Monroe Street. The event doubled as a fundraiser for United Way, hosted by Consociate and sister company Danzig. Attendees were invited to play various carnival games and raffles, with the proceeds going toward the campaign. The United Way has provided financial assistance for various social service agencies in Macon, DeWitt, Moultrie, Shelby, and Piatt counties. After 5 years of conversation, collaboration, and research, the organization has identified 4 key areas to focus its efforts: youth education, adult education and training, health, and safety. Past recipients of United Way funding include Dove Inc.'s Domestic Violence Program, Crossing Health Care's Prescription Garden and Produce Program, and Richland Community College's Project Read, which aims to help adults improve their reading and math skills through tutoring. Looking toward the campaign's end in December, Bogle said it's going to take the entire community's help to reach the goal. When agencies apply for investment, the request is more than double what we have, she said. So there's a huge need out there for the campaign, and we continually work to find new avenues for funding. So it's very important for the community to get involved. Darren Reynolds, president and CEO of Consociate, said his company tries to get involved in the campaign by investing and volunteering to help. Tina Suzowitz, the company's vice president of human resources, said Consociate has participated in the United Way campaign since 2010. We try to get a 100% participation, but when we don't get 100, we get very darn close, Reynolds said. It's pretty amazing. Consociate made another big donation to the United Way on Wednesday in the form of an automatic external defibrillator. Reynolds said the company's wish is that the United Way will act as a guardian of the device and allow other area organizations to use it whenever an emergency occurs at a large community gathering. Reynolds said the idea to donate the AED stemmed from a recent situation involving Brian Pierce, Consociate's director of marketing. Pierce experienced a massive heart attack while volunteering at the WSOY Community Food Drive on October 5th. Pierce was told by doctors that he likely would have died if it weren't for the intervention of a bystander who had an AED at the scene. By donating one to the United Way, both he and Reynolds hope the device will serve as a community resource for those who need it, just as the United Way has been a resource for many others. We just want to make giving a part of the culture here, said Pierce, 53. We all give. We want everybody to think of others, not just ourselves, but think of others in the community. Meet the board. The United Way of Decatur and Mid-Illinois Board of Directors and Officers are John Guyman, Archer Daniels Midland Company Chairman; Matt Fairchild, Hickory Point Bank and Trust, Treasurer; Sam Brown, HSHS St. Mary's Hospital; Tony Brown, Macon County Sheriff's Office; Courtney Carson, Springfield Urban League; Chris Coates, Herald and Review; Jason Doyle, Tate and Lyle; Chris Harrison, Brinketter and Associates; Caleb Jump, Northwest Mutual; Eric Lee, Newhoff Media; Dane McGlade, BKD LLP; Adam Mize, Caterpillar Inc.; Ian Rode, Soy Capital Bank; Billy Tyus, City of Decatur; Joni Zimmerman, crop risk insurance. Candidate forum. Candidates spar over Madigan. Slew of hopefuls also talk ag finances in Decatur by Tom Lisi. Decatur. Support for the Illinois Speaker of the House became the focus of a series of debates between candidates for the state legislature Wednesday night at the Decatur Club. The Democratic candidate for the 101st Illinois House District, Jen McMillan of Decatur, pledged she would not vote for the longtime Speaker of the House, Chicago Democrat Michael Madigan, to retain his leadership seat. "It is something that I truly believe in," McMillan said after the face-to-face with the candidates forum, sponsored by the Herald and Review, Greater Decatur Chamber of Commerce, and the Decatur branch of the NAACP. "As someone who is new to politics, who keeps hearing from voters in the district that they don't want Speaker Madigan leading the House anymore, I have to vote with my district." Like many Illinois Republicans running across the state for seats in the General Assembly, McMillan's opponent, Dan Calkins, has made term limits for state legislators a pillar of his campaign and has criticized Madigan's decades-long tenure as the Speaker of the House. "In Illinois, things are so corrupt that the politicians are able to draw their maps to choose their voters, and there's just no end to the shenanigans that get played," said Calkins, who also said he would serve no more than 6 years in the House. "I'm very much for term limits. I've signed 2 petitions to get it on the ballot as a referendum, and the Democrats have found a way to keep us from having a vote." The debate between McMillan and Calkins was the last of 3 Wednesday at the Decatur Club. Voters heard from State Representative Sue Scherer, Democrat from Decatur, and her Republican opponent for the 96th House District seat, Springfield Alderman Herman Senior, and Republican candidate for the 48th Senate District, Seth McMillan. His opponent, incumbent State Senator Andy Menar, Democrat of Bunker Hill, was not able to make the debate. Madigan, who was also chairman of the State Democratic Party, is considered by many in the state, including Republican Governor Bruce Rauner, to be the most powerful person in state politics. Once a relative unknown figure outside Chicago and political circles, Madigan in recent years has become deeply unpopular with Illinois voters after suffering years of political attacks that sought to make his name synonymous with corruption. "We've got one man that's controlling the flow of legislation in the House and basically the Senate," Mark Scranton, a local business owner, said after the debate. "I don't think one person should have all that power." Calkins pointed out Scherer's record of voting for Madigan into the speaker position to undercut McMillan's position against the leader of her own party. "We've heard this before from people running for office," he said. "Two words, Sue Scherer. She promised not to do that either." Scherer, in her debate segment, did not say directly whether she would vote again for Madigan as speaker, but said she has always cast her votes in the General Assembly based on the majority opinion of the district. "He didn't like my vote on pro-life. He didn't like vote on gay marriage. He didn't like my vote protecting state workers. He didn't like my vote protecting state pensions. And I could go on and on," she said. The former school teacher, who was first elected to the seat in 2012, said she has no problem asking the speaker his thoughts on issues and what she could do as a legislator to secure funding and projects for the district. "Nobody has a problem with that. But they have a problem that, yes, I did vote for speaker. Because you know how many choices I had? 1. Nobody else ran but him." The forum also featured questions about climate change, growing the region's agriculture sector, and how to shore up the state's finances. Before the debates between state legislative candidates, potential voters got to pose questions to candidates for county office in a speed dating format. Office seekers from both parties for county sheriff, county treasurer, and county clerk spoke to 6 different groups of voters. "It was a nice way to learn about the candidates," said Diane Lutt, a retiree from Decatur. "What you didn't know, you could learn from them directly." The event was the first of 3 election forums being sponsored by the Herald and Review in conjunction with the local branch of the NAACP. A debate between U.S. Representative Rodney Davis, Republican from Taylorville, and Democratic challenger Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan of Springfield is planned for Monday, October 22nd, at Millikan University. The 6 p.m. event at University Commons is co-sponsored by Millikan, WSOY 1340 AM, and WAND-TV. At 6 p.m. Wednesday, October 24th, a debate between candidates running for Macon County Sheriff, Democrat Tony Brown, and Republican Jim Root, is scheduled at the Decatur Public Library, 130 North Franklin Street. Park Board OK's fee hikes will require security deposit for those using pavilions, by Jalen Cook, Decatur. Anyone who rents a pavilion at Decatur Parks will need to pay a security deposit of $50 or $100 starting next year, a change officials say was driven by a number of renters leaving large messes behind. The Decatur Park District Board voted 3-0 to approve the new security deposit requirement and other facility fee changes during its regular meeting Wednesday. Commissioners Stacy Young and Chris Riley were not present. Chief Financial Officer Rodney Boer said the amounts are proposed based on the rates of area competitors, attendance numbers, and on what the district believes a customer would be willing to pay at a park district facility. Boer said the deposits will be returned to renters as soon as possible, as long as no damage or messes are left at the pavilions. "It is our intent to give every deposit back," he told the board. "That's what we want. It's just because of the increasing staff time that's been involved with cleaning up the messes, broken glasses, broken bottles, and so forth. That's why we decided to implement this." The security deposit comes on top of pavilion rental fees, which will range from $75 to $285 in 2019, depending on the size, the number of people using it, and location. Security deposit amounts also vary. For example, a party of up to 100 people at a Fairview Park pavilion will require a $50 deposit to be made with the rental fee. The deposit and rental fee will increase for parties with over 201 people attending. Other fees that will increase for the 2019 season include the admission prices at Scoville Zoo, memberships for the Decatur Indoor Sports Center, golf punch passes, and admission for the district's aquatics facilities. Admission costs at Overlook Adventure Park will remain the same next year. In other business Wednesday, the board took steps to move ahead with the long-awaited extension that will take the Stevens Creek Bike Trail north to Forsyth. Commissioners approved an increase in design costs and an agreement with Forsyth engineering firm Chastain and Associates to handle the design duties for the next phase of the work. The project, first devised in the late 1990s, has aimed to create a network of trails that run through Mount Zion, Forsyth, and Decatur. The trails currently connect Rock Springs Conservation Area and Fairview Park, with an extension running from Fairview to Greendale Park. When completed, the next phase will pass under Interstate 72 to connect Cresthaven Park with Timber Lane and Forsyth. The latest phase of the project will cost a total of $2.2 million, with the Park District paying 20%. The rest will be covered by the Illinois Transportation Enhancement Program, a state program that gives out federal funds to projects that support alternative modes of transportation. Mary Cave, an associate with Chastain, said Wednesday's approval allowed for about $81,000 to be taken from the project's construction budget and added to its design budget. Cave said the Illinois Department of Natural Resources must also review the project to ensure that it won't infringe on hydraulic floodplains in the area. She said Chastain will put the project out to bid after receiving approval from that department and the Illinois Department of Transportation, which oversees the ITEP program and maintains Interstate 72. "We'd bid it over the winter so that we can get the contractor going when the weather breaks," Cave said. 2019 Park District Facility Fees. Other notable Decatur Park District facility fees set for 2019 include the following. Decatur Indoor Sports Center, $459 for annual individual adult passes, $642 for annual family passes, $330 for annual senior passes. Scoville Zoo, $495 for kids ages 2 to 12. $695 for adults ages 13 and older, $595 for seniors ages 65 and up. Golf facility punch passes, $685 for 60 9 whole adult passage. 645 for 60 9 whole senior punch passes. $375 for 49 whole punch passes for ages 29 and younger. $1,220 for 60 9 whole adult punch passes with golf cart. $1,550 for 60 9 whole senior passes with golf cart. Man pleads not guilty to murder by Tony Reed, Decatur. An Arlington, Tennessee man, accused of gunning down a Decatur man with whom he had been negotiating a large drug deal, pleaded not guilty Wednesday to 4 counts of first-degree murder. Macon County Circuit Court Judge Phoebe Bowers found probable cause to arraign Cameron T. Taylor, 20, on charges he killed 22-year-old Nathaniel D. Majors by shooting him multiple times on the night of January 27th. Giving evidence, Decatur Police Detective Timothy Whitmer said witnesses described a man, later identified as Taylor, meeting with Majors at a house in the 2000 block of North Graceland Avenue for a drug deal. Whitmer, under questioning from Macon County State's Attorney Jay Scott, said Taylor was negotiating to buy $1,000 worth of cannabis from Majors. A brother of Majors, Whitmer said Major's girlfriend sent text messages to family members concerned about the amount of time the armed drug buyer was spending in the house. A brother of Major's responded to the text messages and later found his sibling mortally wounded. Whitmer said the brother drove Major's to Decatur Memorial Hospital, where he was pronounced dead at 10:22 p.m. After Decatur police issued an alert that Taylor was wanted for murder, he was picked up by police in Tennessee in August and extradited back to Decatur in September. Whitmer told Scott that Taylor picked out of a photo lineup by witnesses and placed in the area of the killing by cell phone information, kept changing his version of events, at first claiming he wasn't there at all. Whitmer then quoted Taylor as eventually saying he had gone to see Majors with 2 other men, with a plan to buy cannabis using counterfeit cash. But he had backed out at the last moment, leaving the accomplices, who said they would finish it. Taylor, represented by Chief Public Defender David Ellison, is being held at the Macon County Jail without bond. It is the policy of the Public Defender's Office to not comment on cases. Bauer scheduled a pretrial hearing for November 8th. Beach House Restaurant reopens after violations by Claire Hettinger, Decatur. The Beach House Restaurant has reopened one day after being shut down by the Macon County Health Department for various code violations found during a routine health inspection. The restaurant posted a statement on Facebook and Instagram letting people know that it had reopened. "We were blindsided by something we never should have experienced, and we hope no other business has to go through," the post said. "We are better and stronger than ever. We can't thank everyone enough for the hundreds and hundreds of emails, messages, and calls of support. We also love the social media haters as well." Owner Todd Mason could not be reached for comment Wednesday. The Lakeside Restaurant, 2301 South Lake Shore Drive, had its permit revoked Tuesday after it received a score of 57 out of 100 during a health inspection, according to an inspection report obtained by the Herald and Review through a Freedom of Information Act request. The restaurant was required to correct violations and pay a $75 fee before it could reopen, the document said. Among the violations noted in the report were the presence of mouse droppings, raw meat being stored above ready-to-eat meat, fruit flies drawn to a spoiled pineapple top left in standing water, and cigarette butts and ashes left in the sink of a dry storage area. The Herald and Review has filed a Freedom of Information Act request for the report of the inspection that allowed the restaurant to reopen. The health department inspects all restaurants in the county routinely and in response to complaints. Restaurants that score below 60 are closed automatically and must be inspected again before they can reopen. A score of 84 or below requires reinspection within 30 days. The Beach House has served as the Decatur Park District's food and beverage provider since April. Park District Executive Director Bill Clevenger said Tuesday that the catered food is prepared at the Hickory Point Banquet Facility and not the Beach House building. Clevenger said he felt confident that Mason would make any needed corrections and continue to provide great service. Decatur man pleads not guilty to rape, by Tony Reed. Decatur. A Decatur man implicated by DNA results appeared in Macon County Circuit Court on Wednesday and pleaded not guilty to a charge of criminal sexual assault. Macon County Assistant State's Attorney Katie Dowis said the charge dates to the night of May 10, 2017, when a woman said she refused the advances of Jonathan C.T. Owens, 26, and was raped in the garage of a Decatur home. The woman said the two of them had been watching movies and smoking cannabis together before the assault. A sworn affidavit from the Macon County Sheriff's Office said Owens had laughed at deputies when they spoke to him by phone about the accusation. He said he didn't know the victim, and he refused to come to the Macon County Law Enforcement Center for an interview. But deputies obtained DNA evidence from the woman while she was in the hospital and sent it to the Illinois State Police Crime Lab. The results came back a year later, and after deputies got a search warrant to get a DNA swab from Owens, they got a near-perfect match, the affidavit said. The sample was found to be no more common than approximately 1 in 5.0 quadrillion unrelated individuals, the affidavit said. Owens was arrested October 9th and remained held in the Macon County Jail in lieu of $100,000 bond. He asked Judge Phoebe Bowers for time to hire a private attorney for his defense, and she agreed, scheduling a hearing for November 16th. Pretrial set in attempted murder case, by Tony Reed. Decatur. Ryan J. Woods, accused of opening fire with a shotgun and wounding a man during a dispute on a Decatur street, pleaded not guilty in court Wednesday to a charge of attempted murder. Woods, 33, also pleaded not guilty to charges of aggravated battery with a firearm and aggravated discharge of a firearm during a preliminary hearing in Macon County Circuit Court. Judge Phoebe Bowers found probable cause to arraign him, and Woods remained in custody in the Macon County Jail on Wednesday night in lieu of $500,000 bond. Decatur Police Detective Troy Kretzinger told the court the shooting dates to the evening of January 21st. He said a group of people got out of a car in the 1500 block of East Prairie Avenue and were confronted by another group emerging from a house. Kretzinger said the two groups got into a verbal dispute before there were two blasts from a shotgun aimed at the group from the car. The first shot did not appear to hit anyone, but the second blast peppered a 28-year-old Decatur man with multiple pellet wounds in his face, neck, torso, and upper legs. A sworn affidavit filed in the case said police recovered two spent 12-gauge shotgun shells from the ground at the scene. A search of a nearby house found 9 live shotgun shells of the same brand. Kretzinger said Woods was arrested after detectives developed information that identified him as the gunman. His photo was later picked out of a lineup by the wounded man, Kretzinger said. Chief Public Defender David Ellison asked Kretzinger what the people in the car had been doing when they pulled up on East Prairie. Apparently, they were in the area to purchase cannabis, the detective said. Ellison also asked if Woods had been found in the house, and Kretzinger said he was not. He was located and arrested September 10th. Bowers set a pretrial hearing in the case for November 9th before Judge Thomas Griffith. It is the policy of the Public Defender's Office not to comment on active cases. Briefs. Prayer Breakfast Tickets. Mount Zion. The Mount Zion Chamber of Commerce is hosting its 7th annual Mount Zion Community Prayer Breakfast on Wednesday, October 24th. The program, which will run from 7 to 8 a.m., will include keynote speaker Greg Bradley, music, and prayer. It will be held at the Mount Zion Convention Center, 1400 Village Parkway. Doors open at 6:30 a.m. Tickets, which cost $10 and include a breakfast buffet, must be purchased in advance. For tickets or more information about the event, call Linda Harper at 217-864-2526. Tickets also can be purchased at the following Mount Zion locations: Mount Zion Village Hall, Town and Country Bank, Prairie State Bank and Trust and Scott State Bank. Culver's reopening Friday. Decatur. Culver's Restaurant at 4850 East Aldi Drive will reopen at 10:30 a.m. Friday after being closed for remodeling. The restaurant has been closed since Sunday. The store will have new carpet, wall coverings, and counters. Culver's owner Jim Wolfer said the staff is excited for the reopening. It's more of a modern look, he said. A Decatur building permit for the project lists its cost as $170,000 and said the work includes update finishes in public areas, a new seating layout, exterior paint, and cultured stone accents. Wolfer said the exterior of the building would feature different colors as well as stone pillars and walls. We tried to make it more fresh, Wolfer said. News Roundup. Funding to expand housing counseling. Five Illinois cities will receive federal funding to help people find quality housing or keep current homes. The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development announced $47 million in housing counseling grants Monday. Illinois will receive $1.4 million of that to assist nearly 53,000 households. HUD counseling money will go to Carlinville, Chicago, Grays Lake, Joliet, and Springfield. Housing Action Illinois will help distribute funding. Executive Director Sharon Legenza says nonprofit housing counselors help people navigate the mortgage process, avoid predatory lending and foreclosure, and establish budgets for the future. HUD officials say home ownership is the primary way families begin to build wealth. The Illinois home ownership rate is 65%. Champaign. Getaway driver gets 15 years in robbery. A 29-year-old man has been sentenced to 15 years in prison for serving as the getaway driver in an armed robbery of a Champaign cell phone store. A Tuesday statement from Springfield's U.S. Attorney's Office says a federal judge in Urbana also ordered that Randy Williams of Kankakee pay about $32,000 in restitution to the Champaign Sprint store. The sentence was imposed Monday. Prosecutors say five robbers traveled to Champaign on July 28, 2016, to rob the store. Two customers and two employees were held at gunpoint, their wrists and ankles bound with zip ties. Williams has been in custody since his arrest in September 2017. Jurors convicted him in June. Dedication of war memorial planned. Peoria County is unveiling a new memorial to honor local veterans who have died in conflict since World War II. The Peoria Journal-Star reports the formal dedication of the Final Salute Memorial is scheduled for Saturday in the Peoria County Courthouse Plaza. The memorial is located alongside memorials honoring World War I and II and Civil War veterans. More than 230 names will be engraved on black granite plaques. There also are statues that represent GIs from the Vietnam and Korean Wars. The keynote speaker for Saturday's dedication will be Hal Fritz, who earned the Medal of Honor while serving in Vietnam with the U.S. Army. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Herald and Review for Thursday, October 18, 2018. Please stay tuned.